I'm Jan Suk Fong Lee.
And I'm Dina Del Bucchia.
And this is Can't Live. Can't
Live. Talk about books and stuff. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Can't Live. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Dina.
How are you?
I'm very well. I've had some wine and some snacks. We had a lot of snacks.
We really snacked hard.
Yes,
we snacked. As we often do.
We snacked with Oscar, which was good.
We did. It was really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So, as you have heard a few other times, Jen and I are just here alone. The two of us. Just the two of us. No guests.
Yeah. It's a real Dina and Jen situation here.
It really is.
A tornado, if you will.
It might be a Sharknado. Jen just told me about a Sharknado cake that she, I think, ate.
I did eat. The inside was chocolate cherry. The outside was buttercream. It looked like a tornado with shark heads coming out of it.
It's extremely fancy.
Yeah. I hope everyone can envision what I've just described.
So we have just been a part of a very amazing thing that happens in Vancouver called Growing Room Festival, organized by the team at Room Magazine.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Shalene Knight and Megan Bell, I think especially for all of their organizing prowess.
Yep. And all the volunteers and everyone else who's involved. Just totally an amazing experience. Third year running, bigger than ever.
One of my favorite festivals in Canada.
It's so amazing.
It's so good. Yeah.
It's so amazing. Mm-hmm. So Jen, how was your growing room?
My growing room was great. I didn't get to go to any events other than my own. I know I've been such a slug this year, but I've been really busy with
other things. Don't beat yourself
life.
Up.
Okay, I'm not going to beat myself up. I was busy with life. And I'm just coming out of hibernation because I was sick all winter. But anyway, so my event at Growing Room was the launch of Whatever Gets You Through, which is our anthology. That's Rosie shaking for anyone who heard that.
You could hear her little jangly collar.
Rosie's saying, you've been talking about this anthology for as long as I've known you, Jen, and I've had enough. Rosie's looking for her your yak cheese. Your yak cheese.
It's over there.
It's on the couch.
Go get your yak cheese.
We launched Whatever Gets You Through, 12 Survivors on Life After Sexual Assault at Growing Room. We were really, really fortunate to have 6 out of our 12 contributors here in Vancouver.
You had a half these.
Yeah, half. We had Alicia Elliott, Heather O'Neill, Leah Lakshmi, Piepshna, Samara Sina, Kai Cheng Tom, Juliana Kopatek, and Amber Dawn all in one room together.
So many favorites.
All favorites. All friends of the podcast. Former guests. Yeah. And it was one of the most lovely, celebratory launches that I've ever been a part of. And we were just really celebrating, like just making space for survivors and not abusers, which is like, I think an important thing.
I 100% agree.
Yeah. So it was really lovely. How was your growing room, Dina?
It was great. I went to the opening party, which was really fun. That was on International Women's Day. And then There was burlesque.
Yeah.
Baraco Nation was there. DJ Kukum. It was really fun. It was exactly what I prefer, a dance party that ends at 9:30 p.m.
So it was no poetry readings, just an early dance party.
Yep, it was quite special. And I saw one of the Indigenous Brilliance events. I had to work a lot this past week, so that was taking away from my fun experience of enjoying Growing Room, but I saw one of the Indigenous Brilliance events. I got to see another really great panel and reading about kinship. And then I participated in a workshop about readings. We launched the new Poetry is Dead drama issue. Hosted by the guest editors, Nancy Lee and Marita Daxel. And then
former guests,
friends of the podcast. Friday night, I hosted a poetry event that had 8 readers.
8.
It was robust and beautiful. And then on yesterday, I was a part of a panel about podcasting.
And that's Rosie
doesn't like it.
No, Rosie thought a panel about podcasting was a
Rosie,
little too.
Do you want to be on the podcast or on the panel? It's up to you.
She's having thoughts.
Yeah, she's examining stuff. Anyway, it's a great panel featuring former guests Sam Nock and Hannah McGregor, as well as Michael Lemisky, and it was moderated by Jocelyn Tennant, who is wonderful. So really great. Talking about podcasting was so fun. It was interesting to be at a literary event where there was no reading because it was podcast based. So no reading. We just sat around and chatted and kind of sometimes yelled over each other and made a lot of jokes. And it was extremely great. Yeah. So thank you to Growing Room for being wonderful.
Yeah. We love Growing Room.
I can't wait till next year already.
I mean, Growing Room really, I mean, adds so much to our community here in Vancouver. And I think adds a really interesting sort of counterpoint to just literary festivals all over Canada. Yeah.
Yeah. And just literary programming in the city overall. Yeah. And it's just so great. I got to see so many writers, both who are based here and who were from out of town. It was just a real delight.
It was great.
It was a real delight.
Yeah.
On that note, we also would both like to, so Jen has Whatever Gets You Through.
Oh,
it's out now.
It's out now. And we are launching it in Toronto, April 10th, me and Stacey Mae Fowles. I believe, who is going to be there? Kai Cheng Tom, Gwen Benaway, and Alicia Elliott, and Lauren McKeon are going to be our contributors in Toronto who will be at this event.
Great.
It's at the Apple Salon at the Toronto Public Library.
Excellent.
I believe tickets are available now.
Also great.
We're also, Stacey Mae and I are going to be on the social April 9th. PVR it.
Get ready to see Jen on your TVs.
Wearing a jumpsuit because that's Jen, all I wear.
wait, what jumpsuit are you going to wear?
Oh, I think the black one because
the floral.
Yeah,
floral.
It's comfortable. It's doesn't gape. I feel good.
I thought you were maybe going to wear your new space dyed.
Oh, my space dyed. This Rosie is flinging stuff around. My space dyed rainbow knit jumpsuit.
Yeah, I love
it. No, that one has too much boobage. For television,
I mean, I 100% disagree, but fair. I say more cleavage on television. Thank you.
Daytime television. But we should
if you're on daytime TV and you don't have just like 5 to 7 inches of cleave, why are you even on TV?
I mean, yes. That one is just really more side boob than front boob. Yeah,
that's fair.
I mean,
also side boob, you have to have 5 to 7 inches.
I like side boob personally in general, but like, I just feel like my mom might watch it and she'll have some things to
say. And
sorry,
what day is the launch?
April 10th.
April 10th. And you're on the social?
April 9th.
All right.
April 9th. And now Dina.
Yes. So
has a book.
Just before this.
Yeah.
If you are in Vancouver, I will be launching It's a Big Deal at Shenanigans on Robson. That is in the 1200 block of Robson Street. It is attached to the majestic Blue Horizon Hotel. So please come. I'm going to tell you right now, this is a podcast exclusive. I haven't revealed this anywhere else. I mean, I probably will already by the time this is out. But this launch will feature special guests, Jen Suk Fong-Li.
That's me.
Sanara Geisler.
Oh, so many friends.
Kelly Nyan will be there. Anthony Casey. And this event will be hosted by Daniel Zamparelli.
Yeah!
So please, if you are around April 7th, doors at 6:30 p.m. I say doors, even though this is a free event, anyone can show up. And we'll start the show around 7 p.m. There will be fun performances. A good time will be had by all.
Hannah McGregor too, no?
Oh, yes. And Hannah McGregor. Yes. I knew I was forgetting. I'm probably forgetting multiple people. Hannah McGregor, former guest friend of the podcast, true, wonderful human, will be there. It's going to be really great. And Massey Books will be selling books. So it's going to be really fun. And if you are in Calgary, I will be in Calgary on April 16th, launching at Shelf Life Books along with Nikki Reimer and Nicole Fong. And it's going to be great. And then Nicole and I believe, will be in Winnipeg the following day, launching
happening?
At McNally Robinson. So please, if you're in any of these locations.
That's a great bookstore, by the way. The Winnipeg, McNally Robinson.
Great bookstores represented at all the launches so far for It's a Big Deal. This will come out after, but I'll be in Powell River this coming Friday, but it's too soon.
Yeah, too soon. Good. Sorry.
You better figure it out, Powell River. So today's episode is about a really fun topic.
A great topic.
It's just so fun and everyone just feels a warm glow when they are feeling this emotion.
Oh, a very warm glow.
But it might be a burning. So today we're going to talk about jealousy.
Specifically, literary jealousy.
Literary jealousy. So I think it's something that we all experience.
Oh, yeah.
And that we have all experienced. And I think something that we kind of talk about in hushed tones or behind closed doors or with close friends or in a rage text.
So many rage texts.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about it on the mic.
We're giving space to all your feelings.
We really,
friends of the podcast.
We really are.
We see you. We know what you want. All right, Dina, you have to tell me what has been your most intense experience with literary jealousy. However, you can leave names out if you so desire. Although telling someone you're jealous of their success is not such a terrible thing.
I actually think that's, I like that that is your lead question, and also that you kind of added that little part in at the end, because I do think the concept of jealousy sometimes comes from a nice place. Like it's...
No, because you looking at somebody else's accomplishments, and you think, how great, I want those things. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I think this question actually leads into my question and something I had in my notes, which is sort of that I reserve a lot of my jealousy specifically for my nemesis.
That's a future podcast episode, by the way.
One day.
Specifically on nemesis.
One day. But it's because that particular person is afforded a lot of opportunities that I would love to have, but there are certain limitations to my experience, a variety of different things. And I think that that's why it's so pronounced. And I think often, especially here in Vancouver, we sometimes get put into similar types of categories. And I think that that also adds to the jealousy, because mm-hmm. when you're not as successful and you don't have this, especially the same financial success and opportunities, again, I know that our careers are very different, but just to kind of see the opportunities that I could have,
I think it's when
that
you
I don't
yes.
get, and to realize both that there are reasons, partially on my end, partially because of my own limitations, partially because of a bunch of systemic things, partially because of things beyond my control. That's kind of, I think, when the jealousy really acts up the most.
Yeah, it's when you see somebody doing things that you could do.
Yes,
that
exactly.
The biggest, the most intense feeling.
I totally agree.
Think. Yeah.
Do you have that same experience?
Yeah, like, and I think when I was... You know, there were like the people that you're jealous of or whose careers you're jealous of change throughout your life, depending on where you are and, you know, what you're capable of doing and whatever. I think early on, and I can say this because she and I have talked about this many times, is I had like severe jealousy of like Zoe Whittle's career for a long time. We both started publishing at the same time. I think we're the same age. And there was this whole sort of, you know, perception that we were young female writers at the exact same time. And it fosters this kind of sense of competition. And of course, Zoe's done really well. And then I said that to her not that long ago, I want to say 3 or 4 years ago, that this has been an ongoing thing throughout my career. And she said, what are you even talking about? I was jealous of you for like 15 years. And I was like, this is so crazy. So I think that it's because both things that we do, you know, she does things that are funny also. She's a really good performer. She writes multiple genres. So all of those things are things that I can do too. And so when I could see her doing something really great, I just felt a lot of jealousy. And it's because I could do. It's because her career is not that different, I think.
I think sometimes for me, it's not just because I think I could do those things, but because I didn't take other opportunities earlier on. Mm-hmm. Like I let things pass me by. I didn't work hard enough in certain aspects of either my training or my experience, just my career overall, and sort of seeing my own failings, in my opinion,
yeah,
makes me more jealous.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I didn't take advantage of opportunities or that I was lazy. Like I spent time doing other things. And again, like with all sort of negative emotions, I think part of that is true and part of that is untrue. Part of that is just coming from me, like yesterday at the podcasting panel, Hannah couldn't think of the term for the opposite of self-aggrandizing. And I said self-deprecating. And then I said, oh, wait, or do you mean shitting on your own face? And then she said, no, I didn't mean self-deprecating. And then that kind of became like a funny, like running joke throughout the whole panel. But it's kind of that thing where like some of it is self-deprecating and some of it is interrogating the things that the choices that I made. So it's, I think it's a real mixed bag, which is why jealousy is so complicated.
It's so like, you know, yesterday was our launch of Whatever Gets You Through, which was a really great time. But then as it was like sort of getting started, former guest friend of the podcast, David Cherandy, walked in, and I love him and I do. We're really good friends and he's a lovely person. He's very impossible to dislike, to be honest. And
it's really rude of him to be so likable.
Actually, that's maybe the source of my jealousy. Why does everyone like David? Oh, maybe because he's nicer than I am. But he came in and I was like, oh, it's so good to see him. But then another part of my brain is like, you just won a big prize.
$65,000.
Yeah. Can you let me have this one medium-sized launch to myself? Like, it just, but I love him. And it's not even, it's not about him as a person.
Yeah.
It's about the things that he is given that none of us can even really predict. Nobody can predict. He would never have predicted these things.
And this particular award.
Yeah, fell out of the sky.
Is the kind of thing that is just, I forget what it's called already.
It's something Wyndham, isn't it?
The Wyndham Campbell Award.
Yeah, but you can't even nominate somebody.
No,
you just
announce it and they're like, and they literally surprise writers with a bunch of money. Like there's no preamble to it. There's no buildup. They announce, hey, here's 165 grand for a bunch of people.
There's no like Survey Monkey form to fill out online. There's nothing. No. You don't know. It just falls in your lap.
And again, that the day that this was announced, the internet overall, his name was trending on Twitter. All of it.
Yeah.
And so many people were celebrating a person that is so worthy, both as a human being and as an artist, a writer. And everyone was just like, fuck yeah. Like this is wonderful. This is amazing.
It's 100% wonderful.
But it's also exactly the kind of thing that can kind of trigger those feelings. And we can be jealous of people that we love, people that we admire. For sure we can.
For sure we can. And I will say the thing about that is that he, you know, what that does is it makes me turn inward and examine what I'm not good at or what I feel less accomplished at, you know, and then I start thinking, are my books not good enough to win things? Yeah. Are they? Because I mean, I get shortlisted.
I mean,
stuff.
I definitely know mine are not.
Yeah. I love your books.
I know you're very,
don't
nice.
Say that.
You're very nice.
But like, yeah, you think, are my books not good enough? Is my writing not good enough on a sentence by sentence level? Are my sentences not good enough? And
sentence shame.
So much sentence shame. I mean, I don't know how many dangling modifiers are in the conjoined. Nobody look and count and nobody tell me, but like
the right amount,
the right answer,
the correct amount.
Correct. That's what's most painful about it is that it makes you turn inward to what you're not good enough, you know, at. And that sucks.
Do you, what do you think is like the hardest type of jealousy that you experience? In terms of, what we're talking about. Like
literary stuff specifically?
Yeah, like what is the hardest thing to experience?
I mean, the Giller Prize really gets my goat every single time. And it's because the thing about the Giller Prize, though, and this is, you can reason away a lot of this jealousy because it doesn't make any sense. It's not logical because the Giller Prize is very specific. Their nomination process is very specific. The way the jury works is very specific. So it's not actually 100% democratic anyway. So there is many reasons why people don't ever get shortlisted for the Giller. Many reasons that are completely outside of quality.
And sometimes it's just that your book is not even entered.
Yeah, sometimes. It has nothing to do with quality, actually. So that's the one that I think drives me crazy the most is because, or actually, I shouldn't say drives me crazy. That's the one that sends me into this jealousy tailspin the most because I emotionally react to it. But logically, I know that there are so many factors going into that jury process. So yeah, that one. And I think the other thing is when like people's books get made into movies or television, that really bothers me too. Like,
oh yeah.
Why that book? And that's another one I can reason away because the thing about that is too, like for many years, like when The End of East came out and The Better Mother came out. So my books have a primarily Chinese Canadian characters. So that'd be a Chinese, you know, a primarily Asian cast for anybody who's casting a movie or a television show. And I know in like the early 2000s, that would have been a real barrier for most filmmakers to want to even try. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
I get it. But it doesn't really make the jealousy feel any better.
No, totally.
What about you though?
I also definitely get jealous when other people's books are made into films and TV shows for sure. But again, I agree. Like there's other different reasons, obviously, that I can sort of rationalize why that is the case. Yep. But even with my poetry books, I'm like, I feel like you could do anything with anything. Like adaptation is broad. But of course, that's part of the reason. Like I've written the majority of my books are poetry books. No one's going to adapt them, even though obviously they should. There's great ideas in there.
Actually, don't tell me what to do. I'm surprised that hasn't been made into a number of different movies.
Well, there's lots of time still. But I think that's another thing where not everyone has access to the people that are going to do that. You know, not everyone has access to the TV and film industry or people that are adjacent to that. Mm-hmm. So that's not always something that's going to happen. For me, and this, I also hate myself the most for this. I'm constantly jealous of people who are younger than me that have novels all the time.
Oh, really?
All constantly. I'm just like, wow, you fucking little shits and your fucking novels. Like, I'm such a dick. But at the same time, I obviously, for the most part, am proud and excited for them.
Yeah.
But it's me being like, why didn't you write a novel when you were younger, you garbage piece of junk? Like, it's about me failing to do the things.
It's always about your own personal failure.
I should have done.
Yeah.
And also, I've talked about this on the podcast before too, but like, I am jealous of people that grew up with social media in a way where, like, when I was younger and cuter, maybe I could have done more stuff. I didn't have that opportunity.
We missed out on those, like, really fertile years when our skin was unblemished and unlined. Like,
I had a lot of thirst traps that I was ready to set.
Oh, yeah.
In a literary way.
Yeah.
But also using my body. Like, I know that obviously that's problematic and complicated and all of these other things, the sexualization of young women and young people in general, young queer people, all of it is constantly problematic.
Yeah.
When people aren't able to kind of have control of that. And we've seen that happen time and time again. Young hot person gets book deal, gets paid a bunch of money, turns into potentially a big deal, potentially the book doesn't do well. Like there's all of these things that can happen. So that part of it, I also should understand, oh yeah, this isn't actually the best option. Mm-hmm. Like just being super hot and young and a good writer doesn't mean that things are going to work out.
Oh, God,
perfectly.
No.
Exactly.
God, no. And like people, all sorts of, you can never predict how that's going to go.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I mean, I feel like so much of what I want to do and I strive to do is celebrate the successes of others. It's part of the reason for the podcast, the reading series, all the things that I do that I'm hopefully doing a good job of. And
yes,
doing
you
that.
Are.
And so it's one of those things where I'm like, you know, the jealousy part of it for the most part isn't even there. But when it spikes for these little things, I'm just like, I think it also comes from this sort of Italian thing and sort of just like my quickness to anger, which then dissipates very fast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well, I'm really jealous and angry about this right now. And then I'll like, eat a candy bar and then
pass.
I'll be fine.
And it'll pass. Yeah. And I should say that when I say that I'm jealous of the careers of like David and like Zoe, I love both of those people so intensely. Both of them.
Again, even the people that I'm talking about, like other young writers, I'm just like, this is what they deserve. This is great. These are people who are doing interesting, innovative work. I am so happy for them.
I look truly happy for them. I just wish I could have stuff too.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you don't experience multiple things at once. I think we want to be able to just, you know, only experience one thing at a time. And of course we're never going to, like, it's never that easy.
It's too complicated.
It is. And, so here's another question for you.
Yeah.
How do we cope with jealousy?
That was my next question for
you. Oh, good. I'm glad we both have that. Okay. I'm going to fire it to you.
Dina and Jen, share a brain.
I love our mutual brain.
I actually let myself feel it, because this is one of the things I've learned as I get older. I used to try to, like, deal with the feelings, confront them and, like, reason them and, you know, sort of rationalize why I feel this way, get to the source, and then, you know, process it in a really aggressive way, which I don't do anymore. And I don't, because it actually doesn't make me feel any better. It doesn't dissipate the feeling. So for me, I let myself feel it for as long as I need to feel it. And generally speaking, it dissipates in 24 hours. Most of my feelings do, except for the long-term grudges against certain nemeses, you know, because that happens.
Yeah. I mean, a long-term grudge is a special thing that you must cultivate like it's in a garden. You must water, you must add mulch, whatever,
yeah,
all that.
Sure.
You gotta do
stuff. You gotta nurture that shit.
Yeah.
So the way I feel is I can be angry, I can be resentful, I can be bitter. And also understanding that it's never really directed at that person. It's always directed inward at what I've, as you said, you failed to do. And you let yourself feel shitty, man, for like 24 hours. And then you're ready to go on the Twitter and say, congratulations, David Cherryhand. But then by then, the jealousy is dissipated and I'm genuinely happy. So a lot of it is too, is I have to remind myself to be kind of quiet publicly with the jealousy until I've processed it, because it's never, you know, tweeting while whilst jealous and possibly drunk at the same time. I'm not saying I haven't done it, but like, I think I've learned that I shouldn't.
Yeah.
Me personally.
Yeah.
And friends of the podcast, you do what you need to do. But
yeah,
like,
for sure.
Whatever. What about you? How do you cope?
I feel like part of it is acknowledging it.
Yeah.
I've talked actually and written quite a lot about negative emotions and sort of my take on the fact that we can't just dismiss them. And so that's definitely a huge part of it. That it's just, we know it's there. We try to understand in some ways where it's coming from. And, you know, we'll probably always live with some level of jealousy or envy. And
In every aspect of our lives, not just literary.
Yeah, for sure. It's like all of these emotions. When I was thinking about this episode and what we were going to talk about, it was like the matryoshka of emotions, where like things are piled inside other things, and sometimes you open them and sometimes you close them back up. Right.
And it's a surprise when you open
them. And it is a surprise. You're like, what's this one? And so I feel like it's this like layered stacking doll weirdness. Mm. But the other thing is, I always have to remember when I start to experience this, there probably, and again, I mean, maybe this is wishful thinking, but there probably is someone that is jealous of me.
There probably is
someone that's like, you fucking selfish bitch. Like, you are the one. You have all these books. You do all these things. You have this stuff. And I have to also acknowledge that, yes, I do. I've been very lucky. It's not that I haven't worked hard, but I have had a lot of luck.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of good experiences. And I am a more outgoing person. So I'm able to put myself out there in a way that a lot of other people aren't. And our comfort levels are different and our voices are different and mine is really loud. And there's all of these things that I have to kind of think about when I'm like, oh, well, people are jealous and this is what happens. Like, we're all going to feel jealous.
I think that acknowledging your own accomplishments is a way of processing that jealousy and taking that bitterness out of it, because my whole problem with jealousy in particular is feeling bitter. I don't want to feel that. Like, this
Me
is
neither.
It's a really difficult thing
As
to do.
As I get older, it's also something that has crept in a little more.
Yeah.
And I really have to work to kind of push it out more than I used to.
Yeah.
And again, for the most part, my reaction to everything is Isabella Wang, like, excitement, where I'm like, this is great. You're great. I love what you're doing. Everyone's being amazing. But the times that it jumps in is when you really notice, because it's sort of the opposite of what you're usually experiencing. And that's why it is fucked up. And it's also good to think about how many people have not been published, how many voices have been silenced, how many people get pushed into the margins that don't deserve to be, how many great books are out there and great writers that have not had the opportunities that I have had. And so considering that always kind of shakes me a little bit. So yes, definitely always acknowledging that that jealousy is like living inside my slowly decaying body.
I mean, yes. I will also say that I think that what an important thing to acknowledge is what your strengths are, what your role is or has been, and understanding that nobody else has those strengths. Nobody else plays that or performs that role or plays it or acts it or whatever. And that there is a place for you. You don't have to have the accomplishments that other people do. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Celebrate your own successes. Celebrate the successes of others.
I mean, Rosie's really shaking a lot because this jealousy topic is, I mean,
we're all jealous of your hot bod, your hot long hot dog bod,
your little Jack Russell low to the ground bod,
your cool underbite.
She just yawned.
Like, I know.
Compliments are boring.
She's a real delight.
Dina. So what's your advice though for emerging writers? Because like I think the jealousy thing is harder.
For sure it is.
For an emerging, because they don't necessarily have the books behind them to feel better about or whatever.
Yeah. I think just the perspective part of it is important to recognize that everyone is at different stages of their careers, mm-hmm. of the work that they're doing. And to, as we already discussed here, consider your strengths and celebrate the whatever successes you have, whether they are small or large, like really always go back to the things that you have achieved.
Yes.
Whatever they are.
And they might not be super public or visible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have achieved those things. Mm-hmm. And I also think if there are things that you want to achieve, kind of consider what are the ways to get there. And if you don't know, ask people that if you can. I mean, I hope that, reach out to me, reach out to Jen. Yeah. Like we're online. And so, trying to find sort of ways to achieve your goals can feel really difficult when you don't understand how to do that.
Oh yeah.
So,
cause there is no roadmap.
There isn't.
This, no.
Everyone has different avenues that they've taken and ways that they have achieved those goals. So, and also sometimes you just have to reevaluate your goals and be like, okay, well, what can I do first before I do this other bigger thing?
The goals can change. The timeline can change.
Exactly. Yeah. All of that. Yeah. And that's the other thing. Years ago, I feel like it was John Vania, friend of the podcast, part of my writing group, who said something like the book is going to get written in the time that it takes to write the book.
Yeah.
And I've thought about that so much over the years.
It's very wise.
It's super wise. He's a very wise person.
He's a very wise person.
He's just a lovely, wise person. I'm pretty sure it was him that said this. And the other thing that another wise person, friend of the podcast, former guest, Chelsea Rooney said to me not that long ago was something about the concept of jealousy, which was sometimes with jealousy, it's about wishing the other person didn't have something, like that they don't deserve it. And I think thinking about that also helps understand that it's not that you want to take things away from other people. I mean, not to lie, there definitely are times I do want to take stuff away. But for the most part, with the people that I do, that I admire, that I respect, that I know have done good work and have worked hard. And even if people have had, kind of freaky luck, there are so many people that do deserve stuff and that I want to celebrate. So thinking about the concept of, oh, does this person deserve what they have? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. And I don't want to take that away from them.
No, you never do.
And so thinking about that as well. What about you?
I think for emerging writers, it can be difficult because you don't necessarily have things to accomplishments to fall back on that you feel are worthy of recognition. But I do also think that understanding that everybody's accomplishments are going to be so vastly different and they're going to be, there's going to be a different timeline for everything. And this is like one thing that I've learned with, parenting in particular, which is applicable in this context, is that when I was in like a new parent baby group and like somebody else's baby was sleeping through the night or somebody else's baby was eating yams while my kid didn't like it or whatever. And you feel all this intense jealousy because you're like, oh, I really want 8 hours of sleep, but you're not getting it. And then as time goes on, what you do end up realizing is that anybody's parenting journey, as is the same with your literary journey, you're going to, pay your dues at some point, whether it's front end in the middle or back end, at some point, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
And so maybe your sucky time is right now, and then it won't be sucky 5 years from now. And that's okay. Or maybe you're doing great right now, but it might be sucky 5 years from now. And then understanding that everybody's journey, I hate that word, but everybody's journey is going to have those kind of peaks and yes. valleys. Yeah.
I think about that with everything, like with our relationships, with the romantic, personal friendships, whatever they are, our careers, all of that stuff. I just feel like so much is cyclical and nothing is ever on some consistent, stable line.
No.
And so things are cyclical, things bob and weave, all of that stuff. I totally agree.
Yeah. So I think that all of those things that I was jealous of those other babies, it's fine. You know, my kid is actually relatively easy now and he's, you know, whatever. So it's the same thing. Like perhaps when The End of East came out, a lot of like my peers were jealous because it did pretty well. Well, I certainly paid for it with A Better Mother, which tanked like the Titanic in a really spectacular fashion.
So it's unfairly.
It's fine. It was beyond my control.
Yeah. I've been thinking about this question obviously for many years. Like in my first book, the first section of the book is all suites of poems, mm-hmm. That are like step-by-step guides to your emotions. And one of them is about jealousy. And I wrote about that. And, I remember thinking like, what's the pettiest jealousy you can think of? And I was like, oh, like literally being jealous of babies or young children who have like perfect skin and wanting to like, and you're like, how absurd is it to like, and so sometimes thinking about the absurdity too of like, I'm jealous of you. You're two and you have so much elastin in your skin. It's so beautiful. And you're just like, okay, this is outrageous.
You're so smooth and yeah. like healthy looking. What's
nice
wrong
skin.
With you?
Jackass. And it's like a toddler. Yeah. Like it's totally ridiculous. So
I'm going to do that from now on. Just like steal kids like rice crackers because their skin is too good.
Get out. You don't deserve this rice cracker. You don't deserve these yams.
Jerk. Tiny, tiny jerk.
You little baby jerk. I think this is a great place to end.
I think so.
So, Jen.
Yeah. Dina.
I'm jealous of you, but I celebrate you.
You're not jealous of me.
Of course I am. Are you kidding?
No.
Jen!
What?
I've written three novels. You know that's what I'm jealous of.
Oh, just the novels?
No, all of it.
Oh, okay.
Just, you're smart, you're poised, you say the right things that I want to hear. Aww. You're the best.
I'm jealous of you too, you know.
I mean,
you know what cool. It is for you? It's because of all this lovely, like, public space making stuff that you do. That makes me jealous too.
Well, you can help me anytime.
Oh, I know. I'll you know what? The kid's going to be 12 soon. I can leave him for hours at a time and then I'll be out.
I mean, he's already been playing this video game.
Hey, he's almost nine.
For a long time. I know.
Got three more years and I'm outie. Out of here.
Yeah. We're going to be doing so much stuff. Thank you for listening to this great episode.
Thanks, friends of the podcast.
You know where to find us. Cantlit on Twitter, Cantlit on Facebook, cantlit.ca. Subscribe, leave some reviews. I promise that in the very near future, I'm going to check out if there's any new reviews. Usually there aren't, but when there are, I like to check them out. So thank you so much. Just kidding.
We love you.
Bye.